Hello, and welcome to GoGo Training Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com. My name is Mike Simpson of Custom Training Institute, and in this show, we're going to discuss some of the COCO Foundation classes. I've been in the industry for over 25 years, and I've worked with Macintosh systems for over 20 years. I've delivered training classes and done consulting for companies around the world. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo Training profile. If you've got any questions that you'd like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. All right, let's get started. The first thing we're going to talk about in the COCO Foundation classes is the difference between a mutable class and an immutable class. Mutability isn't something that most programmers normally worry about, but for optimization reasons, mutability can be very important. Essentially, when you have a mutable class, you create the object and then you can change the contents of the object after it's created. So it's basically a readable and writable object. But an immutable object is write once. In other words, once you've created the object, you can't change it. So suppose I have a list of items, but I know that the list is never going to change. In that situation, I can just use a simple array and I never have to worry about those items ever again. However, if I may add or remove items from the list, then I've got to get a little bit smarter about my container. So this means I probably have to implement a linked list. You might think that, oh, okay, that settles it. I'll just write a really good smart container and then forget about it. Not so fast. Just because I sometimes need the ability to add or remove items from a list doesn't mean that I should always take the memory and performance hit and just write a list that always requires that overhead. In order to minimize the cost of using a linked list as opposed to an array, I am best off with two different containers. One container being optimized for modification and one optimized for never having to change. Those containers are mutable and immutable, respectively. With COCO, you get both. COCO gives us both the simple immutable containers like NSArray and NSDictionary, and their mutable counterparts, NSMutableArray and NSMutableDictionary. Okay, that's fine and dandy, but what happens when you have an immutable NSArray and you want an NSMutableArray? You send the mutable copy message to your NSArray to create an NSMutableArray, then you release the original NSArray if you don't need it anymore. It's even simpler to go the other way, though. Since NSMutableArray, the changeable one, inherits from NSArray, which is the non-changeable, you could just assign the NSMutableArray into the NSArray. There's that inheritance for you. However, it's more efficient to send the copy message to the NSMutableArray. Remember that when you send a copy message to one of these objects, you always return an immutable copy. Assign the copy into the NSArray and release the NSMutableArray. So, if we're trying to be more efficient, why do we make a copy? First, remember that containers only store references to the actual object. So the copy operation is never going to copy the actual objects. It's only going to store references to the actual objects. Second, it's much faster to access items from an array than to access the objects from a linked list. Finally, the resultant NSArray, which is immutable, is going to take up less memory, less overhead, than the mutable array that was just released. There are plenty of different types of containers in COCO. There's NSArray, there's NSDictionary, there's NSSet, there's NSData, and of course there's the mutable counterparts. So, which one do you choose? We've already talked about whether or not you want an NSBlah or an NSMutable blah. The question is, which blah do you want? Choosing the right kind of container depends upon the answers of two questions that you have to ask yourself. What is it that you're trying to store? And then how do you want to access this information? If you're trying to store a sequence of individual characters, of course, then you want to work with NS strings, either a basic NS string or the mutable version of NS mutable string. Now, if you also want to store attributes about the characters like the size, the weight, the typeface, and the color, then the NS attributed string subfamily is probably best. But then again, if you're thinking of sequences of characters, you've probably already started thinking string anyway, so the only thing that we're probably adding to this discussion is the concept of also thinking about an attributed string. For a sequence of bytes that have no other meaning to you right now, then the NSData family would be your choice. NSData is useful for binary blobs that you just have to transport to something else, like an MPEG coder or a disk burner subroutine. So just sort of raw bytes that you need to shove around someplace. So those are the sort of garden variety items. Now let's get to a slightly more interesting area. For other types of objects, you've got some more generalized containers, such as arrays, dictionaries, and sets. So now we have to deal with the second question from above. How do you want to access this information? If you need to access them in an ordered sequence, then the NSArray family is your choice. You access NSArray elements through integral index, just as if you were dealing with a normal C array. So NSArray becomes a very popular choice. If an integer index is not the most natural way to refer to an object, then you might want to consider going through an NS dictionary. Dictionary families refer to an object using another object called a key. Most common case is with a string acting as a key. Kind of like when you look up a telephone number in a phone book, the person's name is the key, that's the string, and then you get the value, which is the telephone number. So there's a key value pair that you use all the time without thinking about it. So in the NS dictionary, you associate objects with human-readable strings. So utilizing that functionality, the ability of NS dictionaries to read and write dictionaries to and from files, they know how to do that themselves, make NS dictionaries very, very handy to create a very simple configuration file. So you don't have to do a whole lot of work if you want to create a config file. Just create an NS dictionary object and have it read and write itself. And finally, if you just want a set of objects in the mathematical sense, then the NSSet family is your best bet. It's optimized for testing or not whether or not an object is in the set. And it also has methods to create unions of sets, create intersections of sets, and determine if one set's a proper subset of another set. Now, if what you need to do is go through all the elements of a set, that's pretty straightforward. You start with the first element, go to the next element, go to the next element, and just keep iterating through until you get all the way through to count minus one. But what about the other containers? For all the other types of containers, Cocoa provides you with a specialized type of object called an enumerator. An enumerator object is simply an object that lets you access every element in a container one at a time. As an example, let's say you have a dictionary object. Sending this dictionary a message called the key enumerator object returns another object called an NS enumerator object. The NS enumerator object is poised to iterate through the dictionary and fetch each object. As an example, I'm the eldest of eight children, so I've got seven younger brothers and sisters. So the set of objects that represent my seven younger brothers and sisters could be thought of as a dictionary. So if I sent the key enumerator message to this dictionary of the list of names of my brothers and sisters, I get an enumerator object that could go through and pick each of my siblings one at a time. And so to get the next object, to get the next one of my siblings, I would send the next object message to the enumerator, and it would go and get the next one of my siblings, and it would go through until it had selected each one. So NS enumerator is an extremely simple class. The only other two methods in it are next object, which you've already seen, and all objects, which returns an NS array of all of the objects it enumerates over. Of course, no discussion of Cocoa Foundation classes could be complete without mentioning strings. Strings are so important to programming that we always have to consider strings separately from everything else. We use them in many more ways than any other container. So we'll briefly cover what string class to use and how to use those string classes well. Well, the basic NS string class is unchangeable, immutable, as it should be. String classes have int value, float value, and double value methods. They all try to read a numeric value from the text in the string and return it as if they were successful. Those equivalents of like a to I, ASCII to integer, and str to d, string to double. There's also a message called string by expanding tilde in path. That method returns a copy of the string with the tilde expanded to the user's home directory. Tilde is a very nice convention. It comes from Mac OS X's Unix roots. For example, since my desktop username is msimpson, the string tilde/desktop on my computer expands to /users/msimpson/desktop after you call string by expanding tilde in path. Then, string by appending string message is the cocoa equivalent of string cat without all the security holes of string cat. String by appending format takes a printf style format specification and a variable number of arguments and then basically allows you to create a string and format it as you desire. NSString also has two other nice little features I'd like to cover before letting you go. First, NSString has this NS attributed string, which handles formatted text, bold, italics, typefaces, etc. NS attributed string is how you write your own little text edit routine. And then finally, NS object, which everything else inherits from, contains a method called description, which returns an NS string. And that's a very handy way to print out debugging information, and you've seen that in a few of the demos. Simply pass the format string %@ into nslog, or string by appending format, and then that parameter has its description method called on it. That's very handy. I hope you've enjoyed today's presentation on Cocoa Foundation classes. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box. And if you're interested in hearing some of my other shows, just search the GoGo Training Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there's a show that you'd like for me to do, you can let me know by utilizing the question and comment box. Thank you again for your time today. Remember to tune into GoGo Training Radio. It's found exclusively on gogotraining.com.